Amen. One more amazing grace. This is, of course, the version, "My chains are gone." And they are. They are. 144. Good morning. It's a glorious day. This day that the Lord has made, and we praise the Lord for the rain. How wonderful. Amen. God is good. So, good to see you all this morning. Some announcements, of course, that I need to go over. Today is Conference Sunday. It's been in the bulletin. What that means is our offering today goes to the work and ministry of the Four C's. So, of course, you just, if you're given by check, the check just gets made out to the church as normally is, and actually 90% goes to the conference office, 10% goes to our regional fellowship, the Upper Midwest Congregational Fellowship, as it's called. So just to let you know on that. Also regarding Vacation Bible School, hopefully most of you have signed up online. The website is there in the bulletin. We need the helpers to do that also. Our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders are supposed to be helpers. So parents, if you haven't signed them up, and that's t-shirt orders that go in on that, which we need this week to get those sent in. All right? So there's only a very few that ever want to direct this. So God bless those. So your way to help is to just get online and register. As simple as that. So please do. We still need other helpers in various ways. There's sign-up sheets out in the narthex. It's coming very soon, a month away, and we're excited about it. It's a glorious time. This evening is our Golden Age Appreciation Banquet. That we need our youth, that's the 6th graders through 12th graders in high school, to be here by 5 o'clock. Christian Ed Committee members, I believe we're setting up tables and chairs right after church. I don't know if that all got communicated, but that's the plan for that. It starts at 5:30. The way I said this last Sunday, I'll say it again, this when we started this years ago, the intent of it is for the interaction between those that are 65 and older and those that are in the 6th through 12th grade. The interaction to happen through this evening. The entertainment, if you'd call it that, are these two brothers from Freeman. Are they both in high school, Lee? Both in high school. They're extremely musical. Their last name is Kreitz, and I forget their first names. Hunter and Dakota. So I hear they're very, very talented. We're looking forward to that. Youth need to be here by 5, please. Also, just make sure you realize the last day of Sunday school classes will be May 22nd. We don't go back to 9:30 church, though, until June 12th, because we have our VBS program on that first Sunday of June, regular time, and then June 12th, we go back to 9:30 church. All right? It's in the Salem Spire. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I know, I'm sure through Friday night, yesterday, we were just all lifting our voices and hearts in praise to you for the rain. Thank you for answering so many prayers. And Lord, just for your goodness. For your goodness, every day of our lives, you are faithful. You are the faithful one. And we, as we're going to sing this opening hymn, even, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Lord, we're not 1,000 here this morning. Maybe we're close to 200, 180, whatever it is. But we're going to lift our voices in praise to you this day for our salvation. Our praises to you for your working in our lives each and every day. Our praises to you for your wonderful, wonderful presence here this morning, for being our Savior and our Redeemer and our Deliverer, for who you are, Jesus, our King. And we are here to honor you and magnify you above all else, and so we do. And we ask that you move mightily among us this day during this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's stand and sing that first hymn, number 21, Oh, for 1,000 Tongues to Sing.
Jesus, the name that's charged our fears, that gives us
Amen. And so we praise him. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Thanks for greeting.
Good morning.
Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. Some things I have as usual. First couple updates, just some praise reports. Harriet Schaefer, she's coming along with healing in that collarbone. Thankful it didn't require surgery. Also, Jennifer Herbolt's mom. Both of these fell that same morning a week ago in that terrible wind, and she had fractured her right elbow, and that does not require surgery either. So big praise the Lord there. And we thank God for healing in both of them. Kathy Melhoff, prayers for Les and Kathy. Kathy got COVID and has been having some serious symptoms, I guess we'd say it that way. So therefore, Les is in the Doherty Hospice House on respite care because he can't be at home where she's at. So, and Les is on hospice care. He pretty much is in bed all the time. Kathy is his caregiver. Otherwise, he knows us when we go to visit and has his great smile as he always does, and words are very few, but he always sings the chorus of How Great Thou Art with me. I say, okay, Les, we're going to sing this, and he has a great voice. Doesn't say hardly any words, but he sings that just perfect. Neat how that works, isn't it? Let's see, and again, yes, we praise the Lord for the rain. Amen. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Anything else over here? Steve.
Matthew and Jenna are finally going to graduate from USD Medical School this Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And then they're going to do their residency in Toledo, Ohio.
Okay.
12.5 miles.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. Stephen Sherry's son, Matthew, and his wife, Jenna, they're graduating this weekend from medical school down at Vermilion. A lot of work goes into that. And then they start their residency yet after that, which will be in Toledo, Ohio, 12.5 hours away. Nice and close, yeah. Yes. Kristen. Yeah, happy birthday, Emmeline. Heck and Live will turn 12 on Friday. That's great. Anybody else over here? Okay, over here. Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for, boy, such a joy and excitement for Matthew and Jenna Pressler and all the hard work and hours upon hours of schooling and training being put into their medical career. And thank you for bringing them to this point of graduation and then on to their residency. Lord, we just ask your guiding hand upon them and their lives as they make their move to Ohio. And we thank you for the gifts that you have put within them to minister to people in these ways. We know that you will use them mightily, and we thank you for that, Lord. For birthdays mentioned, some maybe not mentioned, today even, I know, I thank you for these individuals and ask your blessing on their lives. Lord, we thank you for healing, your healing through Harriet and through Jeanette Gerritner and continued healing to Elton Herbolt and also Jay with his arm there and many others, Lord. Some that are unspoken, but you know, we lift them all to you and ask for your mighty, mighty healing touch to be at work throughout their bodies. We pray for Les and Kathy Melhoff both. Lord, certainly Kathy right now struggling with COVID and the effects of that. Lord, You live in her by the power of your Spirit. And we thank you for working mightily there and giving her strength day by day, especially as she so faithfully is Les's caregiver. We thank you for helping that to work out again according to their wishes. Father, as we hear of the weather and we hear of the storms, some especially that went through Kansas there by Wichita, the devastation there, we lift those people up as they rebuild their lives. And thank you, at least last I heard, I don't think there was loss of life, but be with them, Lord. We do praise you again for the rain that you brought through so wonderfully throughout our region. So we think of that, Lord. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine as their what they knew as normal has just been totally wiped out in so many ways. We ask for your help in that situation. And we thank you that you are working. You see it all. You are the God who sees. As you revealed yourself to Hagar in the Old Testament, you are the God who sees, and you are working there, and we know it. And so we pray also for our troops of our country, those serving at home, those serving abroad, many in those countries on the border there of Ukraine. Keep them safe. Be with our government leaders and give them wisdom, Lord. Again, we ask for your supernatural guidance and direction to them and decisions that are made. Even though they may not realize it's coming from you, Lord, you can do it. You can do it. You've done it many times before. And so we do trust you in that. Thank you, Father, that as we pray so earnestly for the natural rain, that every time we do that, we pray for the rain of your Spirit upon our nation to bring revival and healing and refreshing. And we praise you for that by faith. Thank you for all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so the verse I want to read here before our offering time is from Acts 14. Verses 16 and 17. So this was when Paul, they were in Lystra, a town called Lystra. There was a man there that had been crippled from birth, and the power of God worked through Paul to heal that man. And it was a very, the city worshipped pagan gods of all kinds, and so the people there thought that these were the gods, little g gods, that had come down, Zeus and Hermes. And so they want to worship him. And Paul's like, no, 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 we're just men like you. And they point him to Jesus. But the verse here I want to read in Acts 14, it says, in the past, he, God, let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony, meaning without evidence of himself. And here's the evidence. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. And so he does. Let's stand together as we sing the doxology, please. So, Father, we do. As we just read, you show kindness to this earth and to your people by sending rain from heaven. And you give us joy in our hearts, and certainly you have. And we thank you. Help us to live for you, Lord, every day. Help us to be bold to speak for you as we can. Be bold to live for you as our example in the world which you have placed us. And so, Father, we bring our offerings, we bring our tithes into this storehouse with hearts of joy and thanksgiving and praise, asking you to take these gifts, multiply them for the work of your kingdom, as you so faithfully do, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
How are you today? Good. Well, as I'm looking, and as my little friend Sunny here, we're looking at you, and oh, I see some boys and girls that have glasses. Why do we have glasses? So we can see better. Do you know, this is my friend Sunny, and Sunny, when he was young, say hi, Sunny.
Hi, boys and girls.
Are you going to say hi to him? Well, anyway, Sonny, when he was a little boy, when he looked at people, he saw fuzzy. He saw fuzzy around your faces. Is that right, Sonny?
That's right, fuzzy.
Fuzzy, he says. So he couldn't see very well, but he didn't even know it. In fact, his parents didn't even know it, did they? No. But as he got older, his mom thought, wow, when he's reading, Sonny's getting really close to his papers. And his grandma said, when he's watching TV, he wants to get really close. Is that how some of you were before you got glasses?
Yeah.
Maybe. And finally, when he went to school, he told his teacher that he couldn't even see the blackboard. So guess what his teacher said to his mom and dad? I think Sonny needs what?
Glasses.
So sure enough, he went to the eye doctor and he got some glasses. Oh, he put the glasses on. Oh, Sonny, can you see now? Oh, the kids aren't fuzzy. Oh, that's wonderful, Fuzzy. So now he can see.
They almost
fall off, didn't they? Thanks, Sonny, for helping us out. Well, you know, boys and girls, Pastor Mike's going to tell us a story today about... Okay, I'll get him. Thanks. We'll put him right there by me. He can sit up here by me. Here's Sonny. Okay, I'll hold him up. So anyway, Pastor Mike's going to tell us a story about two of Jesus' followers that were walking on a road on the way to Emmaus. And you remember, Jesus died on the cross. And they put him in the tomb, but these guys didn't know that they hadn't seen him yet. They heard from the women that he rose from the dead, but they did not know that themselves. They couldn't see things very clearly. So they were walking on the road, and guess what? A stranger came up by them, and he started walking with them. And he said, "Why are you two so sad?" And they said, "Haven't you heard everything that happened in Jerusalem to the man Jesus? He was such a prophet. We thought he was going to take over and get the Romans out and let us, you know, be free again, the Jews. But they crucified him." And he, that stranger, just listened. And that stranger started to talk to them about all of the scriptures, all of the Old Testament, all talking about Jesus. And finally, they got to Emmaus, where they were going to stay, and these followers of Jesus asked that man, "Hey, come stay with us. Come stay with us since it's getting late." Well, that man said, "Okay, I will." And in Luke chapter 24, verse 30 and 31, when this man was at the table with those followers, he gave thanks, broke bread, and began to give it to them. And guess what happened? Their eyes were opened up, and they recognized the stranger. Who was the stranger?
Jesus.
It was Jesus. All of a sudden, they recognized him. Their eyes were opened, and boom, Jesus disappeared. But then everything that they heard him saying and everything that Jesus taught them, they remembered. Sometimes, boys and girls, we may not be able to see things clearly from what the Bible tells us. We may feel like we need glasses, but you know what? Jesus lives with us, and we can ask him to help us understand, okay? So the next time you're reading your Bible and you're in Sunday school classes or Pastor Mike's talking and you don't understand, you may not see clearly, what can we do? We don't have to go buy new glasses, do we? No, but we can ask Jesus to help us understand. Help us understand what things are happening in our lives. Help us to understand him more. And guess what? He will help us. He will help us. Okay? So I want you to be asking him to help you understand. Let's pray. Oops. Father, we worship you and praise you, and we thank you so much for these wonderful boys and girls. Our prayer, Father, is that we do see you more clearly. When we listen to your words spoken to us from the Word or from our Sunday school teachers, our parents, our grandparents, help us to see you clearly. Help us to see what you want us to do as boys and girls, how you want us to share your love to all the other people we come in contact with. Bless these boys and girls, Lord. Let them to be a light shining for you. Let them to love you more and more each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, Ann and Puppet Sunny. Let's sing number 563, Open My Eyes That I May See. Is our prayer. And let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, that is our prayer. We ask you to open our eyes, the eyes of our spiritual understanding, that we see the truth of your word. We ask that you open our ears to hear, Jesus, as you said to the churches in Revelation 7 times over, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Help us to be obedient. And our mouths, Lord, that we would speak the truth of your word, not just here on Sundays, but wherever we are at. So thank you for these things, Lord. It is by the Holy Spirit of God that you do all of this. And so we yield to you, and I yield myself to you this day and ask you to speak through me by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're in Luke chapter 24, which was the plan for last Sunday. Those of you that were here, I sort of put the sermon aside, and in that time, we had a prayer service for rain. Praise the Lord. When we come together corporately, there's just something about it. As I said last Sunday, we see it in the book of Acts, different times when the church just stopped and came together in prayer for very specific situations. And so I'm not saying it's, oh, we did it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we felt led by the Spirit of God to do what we did, and so we praise the Lord. But today, Luke 24, this is the resurrection day. All right, we're two Sundays after Resurrection Sunday, but what we're reading is that afternoon of Resurrection Day, Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of the disciples, and let me say this, it's not two of the 12 disciples, it's just two of the many disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us." And you always do, ladies. That's not in Scripture. I'm adding that. "Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." I'm going to read one more verse. It's not on there. "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" Amen. Most of us know that account. We should. But I want to look at it again today. As we read, they're on their way to Emmaus, this village, Scripture says, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Even today, they don't know exactly where it is. It's widely thought that the village was west of Jerusalem. So remember, to the east of Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. So this is going the opposite way. And that word Emmaus, it means warm well, warm well. So we know that much. There was probably a natural spring there near this little village of Emmaus. There's different speculation of where it could have been, but as of yet, it hasn't been found, which doesn't mean it won't be. When we were in Israel in 2014, we got to go to the village of Magdala, which is where Mary Magdalene is from. And they only rediscovered that village, I was going to look it up, I think about 1986. So they are still finding these sites where these things happened over there. But Luke's gospel is the only one that brings this account out of the road to Emmaus. Even today, there are spiritual retreats and pilgrimages based on this passage of Scripture. There are several from this congregation who have been on what is called the Walk to Emmaus over at Canton, Inspiration Hills. A lot of you have. Ann and I have. It's been years back. And that's a spiritual retreat that starts on Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and it finishes Sunday evening. Actually, the men go first, which this very year was last weekend, and I know the pastor from Olivet, Arlen Coulter, was there, and then the women go this weekend, and his wife is there. So that's one of them. One, they have others. Trace Diaz, 3 days. Lori Whale was on that recently. Via de Cristo is another one based on the same journey that these disciples were on that road to Emmaus. So it is a journey. And what I want to look at this morning through this passage, it really is an account of our own journeys, of how we come to know Christ, and then our walk with Him through the years He gives us on this earth. So in this journey, what is it? How does it work? Well, number one, if you're doing your outlines, Jesus comes to us. He comes to us first. Let me read first verses again. On that same day, that's resurrection day, two of them, again, not the 12, we're going to this village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, walking along, talking to each other. They're downcast. They're very sad. They do not understand what happened on Friday with the cross. Their hopes are totally devastated. They hear the reports that He's risen, but nobody has yet seen Him. Even, you know, Mary Magdalene sees the empty tomb we looked at on Easter Sunday, thinking He was the gardener, was my sermon that day. She didn't understand. So all that's going, and what happens? It says, as they were talking, walking along, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. He could have done anything on that day. But He chose to go to those two guys walking along that road to Emmaus. Of all that He could have done, and He did do other things, He chose to come to those two men. Isn't that pretty amazing? He came to them. He comes to us. They're just so downcast. And I love it when he asks them, what are you talking about? And they tell Him, you know, are you the only one from Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened? Like, where have you been? And He says, what things? That's so cool to me. Here He is, the risen Christ Himself. He keeps them from recognizing Him. What things? Oh, and on it goes, and we'll talk about it. So we know one of them's name was Cleopas. You might think, was Cleopas mentioned other times in Scripture? There's a place where there's a man named Clopas, so you take the E out, in John's Gospel, John 19:25. Some say they could have been the same guy, but other than that, we really don't have any details. Some say, and I'd probably go more with this, that these two guys were very likely a part of the time when Jesus sent, in Luke's gospel, He called 72 of the other disciples that were following Him, remember? And He sends them out, gives them authority to heal the sick, gives them authority over the demonic spirits, and they go, and they're totally amazed. Very likely they were part of that group of 72. But what? They were kept from recognizing Him. New Living Translation, in that verse 16 of Luke, it says, God kept them from recognizing him. And there was reason for that, of course, because God does everything with it. But in this, one thing I want us to see, as we're in our own lives, but even more as we are praying, as we all have loved ones, I'm sure, who don't know Jesus. We all probably have co-workers who do not know Jesus, friends who do not know Jesus. Do not ever give up praying for them, for their eyes of their understanding to be opened. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God that draws people to Christ, that opens the eyes of their understanding. It is. Maybe you say, I've prayed for them for years. Keep praying. Keep praying. They told me to shut up. Well, okay. If they've chewed you out, and it doesn't mean you always have to be talking to them. Okay, you can if you feel led by the Spirit to bring it up, but the bigger part is just live it. Live the gospel in front of their lives every day. But keep praying for the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It's so important. These two, they knew a lot about Jesus, a whole bunch about him, but their understanding fully had not been revealed to their lives at this point. Even Mary Magdalene, as I referred to, she thought he was the gardener until he called her name, Mary, and then her eyes were opened, right? So they were kept from recognizing him. We can see many examples of that in the Bible. This morning in the high school class, we were with the woman at the well, John chapter 4. We know she was a Samaritan woman, but as that account goes on and Jesus is encountering her, and what about that? He came to her. Remember? They were going down to Jerusalem, and the disciples thought they should be going around Samaria because they never wanted to go through Samaria because they hated those people. They did not like them. Jesus says, no, we're going through Samaria. I have to go through Samaria. He went to that woman specifically to minister salvation to her. And she even says in a verse there in John 4, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us. And what does Jesus say? I who speak to you am he. You're looking at him, woman. You're looking at him. And her eyes were opened. So he comes to us by his Spirit through his word. Let me read a verse. I wanted to say once more. Pray. We pray for those. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4 says this. Even if our gospel is veiled, that means, you know, a veil, you can't see clearly through it, right? Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, those who are lost. The God of this age, that's a little g, meaning the devil. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. In other words, and there's more in that, pray for them, all right? So, they were kept from recognizing him. Secondly, they had these unmet expectations, which we have in life. When he says, what things? And then they tell him about Jesus of Nazareth, and they say, we had hoped he was going to be the one who would redeem Israel. And they were wanting a political Messiah to lift the bondage of Rome from off of their backs. It was a cruel bondage. And they thought, surely, Messiah, that's what he's going to do. So unmet expectations that also kept them from recognizing him. Preconceived ideas. We see that all through the ages. We see it in our world today. People want a Jesus who will do what they want him to do for them. And they want a Jesus who will go along with everything in the world system that just ought to be. And that's not who he is. And that's not who his word is. He is a Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, according to His word and His commandments. But when things didn't go like they thought it should go, it was sort of like they just dismissed the whole deal. We thought this guy was going to be our Redeemer, set Israel free, but he didn't. And so they thought it was all a failure. But guess what? He was their Redeemer, and He is our Redeemer, our Savior, and we know that, of course. Secondly, then their eyes were opened. All of a sudden, as we go on, Jesus answers in verse 25 of this passage, Luke 24. He said to them, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written." What's Jesus saying? What's He saying to us? If we're not going to believe His word, that's what He's saying to us. Jesus? Yeah, that's what He's saying. You are foolish and slow of heart to not believe the word of God and everything written in there, everything written about Me. And this part, the next part, did not the Christ have to suffer these things? Yes, it had to be. He says, he goes on, beginning with Moses. I think you know this, you should. Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then comes into the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and gotta take a breath, Zephaniah, Haggai, or Zechariah. Even I get them flip-flopped at times. Malachi, yay, the last one of the Old Testament. What all the prophets said about Me in the Scriptures. So I tell you right there again, some of these, and I hear it from some of our students that go off to college. I said this not too long ago, and it makes me very sad, even out of some of our Christian universities. You get these religion professors in there who are telling these kids, I've had it this fall, someone came to me, "Pastor Mike, my religion professor is telling, we cannot rely on the Old Testament as authoritative because it was just written by men." And a great answer would be to that professor, "Well, Jesus did." Jesus did, right? Hello, they're standing in dangerous ground, leading our young people astray like that. No, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures about Himself. What about the New Testament? It wasn't written then, right? It was being lived out. He was living it out. So we're talking Old Testament Scriptures. If people come at you with that, perfect Scripture to go to. Right there. So they go on that whole 7 miles, whatever, couple mile talk. He's explaining it all. I've told you before, that'd be a sermon that we would all have loved to hear. And as they come to Emmaus, the village, He's going to go on further. They convince Him otherwise. I'm not going to read all that again. When He sits at the table and breaks the bread, then their eyes were opened and they realize, it's Him. It is Him, and He's gone. Bow, that fast. That's what He could do in His resurrected, glorified body. He could appear. He could disappear. Appear, walk through a locked door. Anything He wanted to do. Could they touch Him? Yes. He was in a physical, flesh and blood, resurrected, glorified body. Could He eat food? Yes. Because when He gets... I'm getting ahead of myself. So Jesus validates the authority. There's a blank I probably jumped over. He validates the authority of Scriptures to them. Why did He keep them from recognizing Himself? There could be more than one reason, but I think one is because He wanted them to see from the Word of God, Old Testament, everything that was written about him, all the prophecies all the way through that he had fulfilled and was going to fulfill. Why? So that these two, as they went on with their lives, however long they lived there in Israel, and the others, could have more to say and prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ than just, I saw him. I saw him. We periodically around here, you know, we get sightings of mountain lions, right? In the southeast of town a year or two ago, whatever it's been, there was. So, you know, and I'm not, I believe those that have seen them, okay? Some of you are sitting here. I'm not denying. But, so, you know, they're so quick. They're so sly and sneaky and secretive. A sighting is usually just pow, pow, like that fast almost. Sometime you might get a little bit of glimpse. But boy, if you don't have your gun right there loaded, ready to go, by the time you reach to get it, that thing's probably gone, right? Some might say to you, really? You sure it wasn't something else? No, I saw it. I saw it. Why I'm saying that is with the disciples, those that saw Jesus resurrected. And there was, we know there was more than 500 that saw him as resurrected Christ. The Bible tells us that. But these two could say, you know what? Yeah, we saw him. But you know what else? I can take you through all the Old Testament and prove to you he is the Christ. He's the one that they spoke about, the prophets. So here's a commentary. I read a statement by this guy named Calvin Whitman that I agree with. He said this, it's either all God's word or it's not God's word at all. Get it? It's either all God's word or it's not God's word at all. We don't have the right to pick and choose things out of there. Oh, well, this is true. Oh, this isn't true. No, no, it's not how it works. See, sight alone was not enough. That's why Corinthians says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in God's word. Then their eyes were opened. I would think, especially the adults here, if you've lived a number of years of your life, you should be able to look back over your lives and see times where God came to you. I don't mean visibly. Came to you, maybe it was through a sermon. Maybe through a scripture that you read that just became alive to you. Maybe it was some of you older ones you've heard, I've told you before, when I was in, it was sixth or seventh, fifth, sixth grade, in confirmation years anyway, where we went to a movie, a Billy Graham movie. It was called For Pete's Sake. And I say this every time I say this, I ought to try and find it, and I never have followed through to find it. Because I can't tell you what it's about, but what I do know happened that day in that movie was my heart was stirred to respond to a call to come forward for prayer, to asking Christ into my life. God moved on me that day. Shy Michael Hecht, a fifth grader who would never go forward for anything, but I did because I was so moved. That was the first time I remember. There's other times after, of course. That's why with the confirmation kids, I always challenge them, especially by the time they come to eighth grade and writing their faith statements, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Because when you get confirmed on that Sunday, that's not the day you become a Christian. Confirmation Sunday is the time where you're proclaiming to the church, I am a Christian. I do believe in Jesus. All right, so he comes to us. He opens the eyes of our understanding. Third, then naturally, he moves us to share with others. That's the progression. After their eyes were open, he's gone. What does it say? Verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And I'm sure they ran all the way back, 7 miles. How fast can you run 7 miles? Got some long-distance runners in here. I don't know. I wasn't one of them in high school, and I'm sure not now. But they booked it back to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is on a hill, so going to Emmaus would have been mostly downhill, whichever way you're going out of Jerusalem. Because the Psalms always say, and it is so, we go up to Jerusalem. So it was an uphill run most of the way back, 7 miles. But certainly we know those people were all in shape. They walked and ran pretty much everywhere they went. Go to the upper room where they knew the 11 would be. And they get in there, and before they can say anything, the 11 and those other women and whoever that are gathered there start telling them, those two, it's true. He's risen. He appeared to Simon Peter. And then when that's all done, they get a chance to share their story of the whole road to Emmaus. And then, as soon as they're done, who comes? Jesus. There he is, right in their midst. I love that. When our eyes are opened in our lives to who Jesus is, that should be our natural response. I can think of a time in college at SDSU. There was this, I went to this Bible study Tuesday night, I think it was, weekly on campus. It was an incredible night. This one, it was all good, but this one night was just over the top. And again, as shy as I still was at that time in my life, they had an offer for prayer for the students if they wanted to. In that, and there wasn't even, 15, 20 people in there. And I could not even get myself to ask for prayer in a little group like that. So you know what? I just got up and left as all the other were leaving. But I had a plan in my head. I knew when all I got out, because I knew the teacher would be in there. It was one of the assistant pastors from the church I attended. I knew he had to clean up his stuff. So as soon as everybody was out, I went right back in. So I'd be the only one in there. And I said, I want you to pray for me, would you please? And I'm not going into all the details. It was just an incredible night. And what do? I ran back to my dorm, Young Hall. And at whatever time of night, it's probably 10 o'clock by that point. Call my mom. In those days you had to call collect. I had been chewed out before by my parents. Do not call collect unless it is very important. You young people, you don't even know what a collect call is. You get the operator on, I'd like to make a collect call to such and such number. And it was expensive. Charged to my parents' phone bill. It was expensive. So they had said, it had better be important, Michael. So I call my mom, I'm telling her, what just happened? She's like, she didn't know what to say. Just sort of quiet on the phone. I'll tell your dad, okay? Okay. That was about the end of that call. So, what does he say? What Psalm says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. When we experience him, his salvation, his goodness in life, the natural response, as it was for these two, is to tell others. We do it naturally in our lives all the time. We find a good restaurant, we love the steak or whatever it is there, boy, we go and tell. Right? Gotta stop here. Gotta eat here. Gotta eat at, what was the place in Rochester, I just was told about some pelican something or gray goose or whatever. I don't know what. Anyway, can't think of the name. I'm looking back there in the sound booth, but because what's the name? Scott, you don't know? Okay, I'm putting you on the spot. Anyway, we say, hey, go there and eat. Well, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we tell people about our walk with the Lord. And the verse, I'll close with this. Were not our hearts burning within us when he opened the scriptures to us? And so it is. That's what God's word does. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, I believe, I hope that we have all tasted and seen many times over your goodness, or we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. And our hearts many times have burned within us as we look into your word, and we thank you for that, for the working of your Holy Spirit, Father. We know sometimes we just read it and that's it, but there are other times where we literally feel your presence burning within our hearts and lives and minds. And so thank you for the work of your Spirit within our congregation, within all that are here today. Father, please work in our lives in incredible ways, and we thank you for the way you do. Help us to share with others. Give us boldness to do so by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. 365. Alleluia, alleluia. Now the words, this is the tune of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, but the words are different. They're focused for Resurrection Day. So let's stand and we will sing this together, please. 365. Please receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. We'll sing God Bless America as we continue always to pray for our nation. Mountains to the be seated. Thanks, Cheryl, for the beautiful music today. Remember Golden Age Youth here at 5, otherwise we start at 5:30.